Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Hey there, Keith.
How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I am fine. We are in a different location this week.
Ooh.
We're just in a different room here at Billboard.
We're literally across the hall from our office.
It's just a different... if you hear weird sounds or buzzing, it's just because we're in a different place.
Just know that we have a beautiful view of the atrium currently.
Yeah. We're looking at as the sun sets in Los Angeles. the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, believe it or not, we've got three, count them, three very special guests. Cord Overstreet, Demi Lovato, and DNCE.
Cord Overstreet, of course, you know from Glee. He dropped by the office recently to chat about his autobiographical debut single, Homeland, how he's been writing and working on his own music for the past few years, and that an EP release is in the works.
Well, Cord also talks about how he became friends with Demi and Nick and Nick Jonas and Joe Jonas, all the Jonases, basically.
Maybe even Frankie,
the bonus Jonas. And how that led to Cord becoming the first artist signed to Safe House Records, which is the record label that Demi and Nick have together.
Well, and speaking of Demi and the Jonases, I grabbed both of them for a joint interview along with Joe's band DNCE. Among the topics discussed, the possibility of new music from Demi and DNCE's upcoming debut full-length album, which is due in November.
Plus, in addition to all that stuff, we've got chart chat about the weekend's big jump into the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 with Starboy, Shawn Mendes's, say that five times fast, second number one album on the Billboard 200 chart.
Pop Shop guest.
Woohoo! And Niall Horan's solo debut on the Hot 100 and more. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode. And heck, give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So, let's talk about charts, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Last week's very special podcast guest, Shawn Mendes, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 Albums chart with Illuminate, giving him his second number one following his full-length debut release, Handwritten, last year.
He lights up the top of the charts with Illuminate.
Normally that would be the pun corner would be me, but take it away this week. Illuminate starts, lights up, turns on, brightens up the chart with 145,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending September 29th, according to Nielsen Music. Of that, 121,000 were in traditional album sales, which is Shawn's best sales week yet. Of course, he hasn't really been around forever, so it's a very short measurement period,
yes,
but still pretty good, you know, in an era when most people don't really sell albums.
Well, and he debuted at number one with his last album, so, you know,
yeah,
he's clearly had a good career already.
it's a short career, but very jam-packed.
Indeed.
As Illuminate arrives on the chart dated October 15th, that actually gives Sean two number one albums at only 18 years old. More precisely, based on the new chart's date, Sean achieves his second number one at only 18 years, 2 months, and 7 days old. He was born on August 8th, 1998, which... Really, August 8th, 1998. What were you doing in August of 1998?
Well, I was real bummed that I had to go back to my sophomore year in high school. That's what I was doing.
Well, only five artists have scored their first two number one albums at such a young age. I did a little research, a lot of research on this. Justin Bieber had his first two number ones at only 17 years and 4 days old back in 2011 when Never Say Never, the remixes, hit number one. That, of course, followed, I believe it was My World 2.0 was his first number one. Then Miley Cyrus was just 14 years old when Hannah Montana 2 Meet Miley Cyrus debuted at number one in 2007, and that followed the Hannah Montana soundtrack.
So she had two at age 14?
Her first number one was when she was 13 years and 11 months old.
Wow.
And that's tricky because it was the Hannah Montana soundtrack, and it was credited as a soundtrack, but it's kind of recognized as a Miley Cyrus album.
Yeah.
It's
as her. Well it should be.
Yeah. Hilary Duff was only 17 when Most Wanted launched at number one in 2005, and that followed, I believe it was Metamorphosis was her first number one. Katie?
Hands in the air on that one.
And Leanne Rimes was a sprightly 15 years old when You Light Up My Life, Inspirational Songs, hit number one in 1997. That was, of course, her second number one album.
A year before Shawn Mendes was born.
Yes. So now it's time for our chart stat of the week.
Oh, man.
And this one is sort of a quiz, Katie.
Oh, okay.
Since we're talking about ages and stuff, I thought it'd be fun to ask Katie, and you listening, who is the youngest person to have a number one album on the Billboard 200 chart? And I will give you a hint. It is none of those people that we just said.
I would think that would be the case. Youngest to ever have a number one on the Billboard 200 is the question.
Yes, youngest individual person. So I don't know if the youngest Hanson brother, and I don't even think Hanson went to number one, so ignore that. But who is the youngest person to ever have a number one album?
Can I get a time frame?
Sure, 60s.
Okay, that's helpful.
And it's a superstar, a legend.
Right. Like a Judy Garland? No, that's way too late.
Superstar legend who is still actively touring today.
Wow, really?
Yeah, but has not put out an album in over 10 years.
Oh my god, is this a man or a woman?
It is
or
a man.
A girl or a boy?
It was a boy. He was just a wee
not Donny Osmond.
No.
Okay, I need help. I'm not doing this. Obviously not.
I can give you the year, 1963.
Yeah, that's not helping me. I'm not coming up with any 60s people right now.
Man, really?
Uh-huh.
Man, you just get stumped immediately.
That might be a blind spot.
He went on to have an amazing Grammy-filled career in the 70s and the 80s. And just tons of number one albums. Not tons, but he's had number one
albums. Stevie Wonder?
Yes, Stevie Wonder.
There we go. I didn't realize he was that. So how young was he?
He was just 13 years.
Little Stevie Wonder.
Indeed, it's all coming to you now.
Mm-hmm.
On August 24th, 1963, he was 13 years old, 13 years, 3 months, and 11 days old when Little Stevie Wonder, the 12-year-old genius, hit number one on the Billboard 200. He actually recorded the album when he was 12. Because it was a live album, I believe. It was the one with fingertips on it.
Okay.
The one that's exactly, that sounds just like Stevie.
Wait, did Stevie just come into the room?
Come on in.
Is it Stevie's office?
Yeah. Anyway, there's your chart set of the week.
Ooh, that took me a long time.
The youngest person with the number one album is Stevie Wonder. In 1963, he was just 13 years old when he hit number one. Okay, so let's get back to the normal charts this week. Moving on to the big news on the Hot 100, The Weeknd, Starboy. Featuring Daft Punk, Shoots Like a Star, straight into the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. It flies.
I feel like I started this.
Like a star. It flies 40-3 in its second week on the chart. The big jump comes because the song was released on a Thursday, like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. instead of a normal Friday. So it actually debuted on the chart a week ago with just 1 day of sales and streaming information powering its debut.
Right into the top 40.
Right into the top 40. Normally, songs are released on Friday each week. And had the song come out on Friday, it likely wouldn't have even debuted on the chart until this week.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have maybe just debuted straight into the top three.
Right.
But instead,
maybe even could have ended.
Nope.
It couldn't have ended.
Closer's reign. I checked on this and we're pretty sure that it probably wouldn't have toppled the Chainsmokers, who are currently number one. But that, you know, who knows what would have ultimately happened.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it would have had enough oomph to knock the Chainsmokers out of number one in its first week. But it's just getting started, and this song seems like it's going to be a sustained hit.
It's so good. I love it so much.
So good.
So good. I like the video a lot, too.
So it's huge. That's a terrible Donald Trump.
I picked up on it, though.
By the way, the song sold 88,000 downloads in its first tracking week. Basically, its second through eighth days of sales availability, it sold 88,000. And on its first day, it sold 28,000. And that's how it debuted on the chart a week ago. By the way, we were talking about this earlier before the show. What did you think of his performance on Saturday Night Live this past weekend?
Oh, I thought it was great. And it was the first time that I had heard, is it False Alarm, the second single from Starboy? It was the first time I'd heard that song as well. And both of them just sounded great live. One of the things I loved about the video is that the Weeknd kind of dances in it, which we didn't really see from Beauty Behind the Madness. Like, mm-hmm. not much dancing from the Weeknd. Kind of would stay still when he performed. So these songs kind of encourage him to be a little bit more, move a little bit more.
Well, he danced. He was on fire and Can't Feel My Face.
Yeah.
Like he was dancing on a stage.
There's a little, but this, I feel like, I don't know, it's like ushering in a new dance era.
It's also hard to dance to The Hills.
Yes. This is true.
that's not exactly like, oh yeah, feel good.
But he was great on SNL, and just like the video, he had a big neon cross behind him. It was very striking looking.
It flashed and everything. Yeah,
very
cool. It was pretty cool. Speaking of the Billboard Hot 100, Niall Horan of One Direction debuts on the Hot 100 chart. His new single, This Town. Every time I say that, I'm like, this town is our town. This town is so glamorous. That's an old Go-Go's song from the 80s. Former podcast guest, the Go-Go's.
Yes.
Anyway, Niall's song debuts at number 63 on the Hot 100. Like the Weeknd's track, Niall's song was released on a Thursday. Clearly, no one's paying attention to that global release
Seriously,
date.
Dropping
thing.
The ball here.
So the song would have had a bigger debut next week had they actually held off on issuing the song for a day. That said, the song sold 48,000 downloads in its first day. You might be wondering, Katie,
mm-hmm.
hey, if The Weeknd sold 28,000 in his first day, mm-hmm. but Niall sold 48,000, how did The Weeknd start higher on the Hot 100 last week? Because he started at 40, but Niall only starts at 63.
I might be wondering that.
Do you have a guess? Since you haven't read ahead in the script yet.
I'm going to say probably radio
yes.
is the answer.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because I have not yet heard Niall on the radio, but I have heard Starboy quite a bit.
Yeah, Niall is not really like a guaranteed thing for radio. One Direction,
yeah.
One Direction, frankly, never was a guarantee
sure.
for airplay. And they had some hits, but not like The Weeknd, where,
right.
I mean, you're following up two enormous radio singles, and you're just like, yes, radio, we're going to play you instantly out of the box.
One Direction never had a number one song, right?
Nope.
Yeah. Zayn did, but One Direction didn't.
Yeah, I mean, One Direction never had a number one on our pop songs airplay chart
mm-hmm.
either, which is the barometer for top 40 airplay. I mean, you can get a number one on the Hot 100 chart just from, like, you know, good sales and good streams and okay airplay.
Yeah.
Like, Zayn, you know, had a big hit.
Pillow Talk, yeah.
Yeah, Pillow Talk was a big hit. But, you know, Nile, especially with this kind of song, it's more of a strummy, acoustic-y guitar. Mm-hmm. It's not that far away from what they were doing in One Direction. Mm-hmm. This was co-written by one of the guys that did a lot of the One Direction material.
Definitely sounds like one of their strummy ballads.
Yeah. So,
and obviously our friend Shawn Mendes has had a lot of luck with strummy ballads.
Strummy ballads work. strummy ballads, they're good. So yeah, anyway, there you go. Nile debuts on the Hot 100 this week. The second of the five One Direction boys to chart on the Hot 100 as a solo artist. I'm assuming the others cannot be that far behind.
I think Harry's next. I'm guessing.
Let's move on to our guest interviews this week. Our first of three interviews. One of them is a joint interview. So our first interview is with Court Overstreet. You know, the singer-actor released his debut single Homeland back in August. And he came by the office to talk about the autobiographical track. Growing up in a house filled with music, you know, his dad is famed country music singer-songwriter Paul Overstreet, and getting to play with the legend that is Jimmy Buffett. And, you know, by the way, Jimmy Buffett is a former Billboard staffer.
I learned that along with Cord Overstreet in this interview.
Yeah, I knew it. Well, Cord's currently in the midst of a residency at the Intimate Hotel Cafe here in Los Angeles, and he has two more dates lined up, October 13th and October 20th. So make sure to go and check him out if you're in town. And trust us, if you've never been to the Hotel Cafe, you're in for a treat.
It is so tiny.
It's like the size of your bedroom.
Yes.
You're practically on stage with the artist.
If you love Cord, this is your moment.
Yes. So go and check him out. And in the meantime, stick around and listen to our interview with Cord Overstreet.
Won't you set me free with a tall pine stand where I was born to be back in my homeland?
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Cord Overstreet.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
You're not really that great. Your car broke down.
Oh, jeez.
My car did break down.
I'm getting right into that.
Well,
my car broke down on the way here, so I had to. I Ubered here. This is not a plug for Uber. I just Ubered here, and I literally just drove it from the shop, and it went 2 miles, and then said, "Nope."
Nope. We've got other plans for you, sir.
But I made it here.
Yeah, so. Such a professional.
That's
made it here.
That's
anyway.
The most important thing. Well, we're super stoked because you have a brand new single out,
mm-hmm.
which is, can we consider Homeland kind of like your sort of proper solo debut?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good introduction to getting to know me, just because it's very real and it's, I was writing it out here in LA. I was homesick, you know, obviously thinking about Nashville, Tennessee, and kind of... happened really quick, and like within 15 minutes had all the lyrics out on paper, and went in and put it down. So
that's how the best songs happen.
Yeah,
and they just come
that's
out.
That's kind of what I think. The ones that take a long time to write and are really agonizing are usually the ones that you end up hating.
Yeah. Did you write it yourself, or did you have help with someone like to write music or anything?
I worked with a production team Hollywood, and I was working on the lyrics while they were working on the music part of it, and I mean it was a collaborative effort, but the lyrically it's very you, very my story.
I was Katie and I were talking about it before you got here, and we were talking about how I'm like, I wonder, is there really a broken down truck in his dad's backyard somewhere in Nashville?
Yeah, so there is. So me and my dad used to take this old like 1970s Chevrolet to the dump, because that's in the country. That's kind of how you get around, or you get your garbage. There's not a garbage guy that comes and takes it. So you have to like.
I remember that. I'm from Michigan, and that's okay. What we had to do too.
Yeah, you have to kind of throw everything in the back of a truck and mm-hmm. you haul it to the dump. So I was like 10 years old, and my dad let me drive the truck on the back roads going to the landfill, and I felt like it was so hard to keep the truck on the road. I did it. It was like so, like I felt like I was like going 100 miles an hour, and probably wasn't, but I go back for the holidays and whenever I can in Nashville, and the truck's just still sitting there. In the backyard, hasn't run in probably 15 years, and it's just kind of like all rusty and kind of, I mean it was an old truck then, but now it's just like it hasn't ran in years, but it's everything's kind of still there, just a little more faded.
What did your dad? Your dad, by the way, is Paul Overstreet, mm-hmm. who is an incredible country musician, and has an incredible chart legacy on Billboard's charts, number one hits, top ten hits, out the wazoo, and has written songs for lots of other people. What did your dad have to say when he first heard this song?
I think he really liked it. I mean, my dad's a tough critic, not in the sense of he doesn't like any of the music that I do, but in the sense of like his taste is very like, if it's not good, he's not gonna bullshit you, and he's gonna be honest because he's a perfectionist, and so he really loved the song. And
thank goodness! Yeah. I'm like, where is this leading up to?
Yeah, he really loved the song.
As it turns out, he didn't like it,
and he had an attachment to it because it was like it was kind of memories and stuff that we shared, and so he had like an emotional connection with the song, and he was really excited and proud and. Kind of just glad to see me getting stuff out there.
Yeah.
And have you always like expected you might go in this kind of sound and direction at some point, or
because there's kind of a rocky country acoustic-y, I don't know, I don't want to put you into a box of some sort, but there's kind of a feel of country on it.
Yeah, I don't really, I feel like there's not really a, because that's one of the hardest things to do about music is kind of put yourself in a category.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that. You don't have to. We're not asking for that.
Yeah. And I would say there's elements of where I come from that, you know, it's heavily influenced by the storyteller aspect of country music. But, you know, I think it's just kind of like stories and stuff that, you know, kind of my history. And if I can kind of tell my story, I feel like it, you know, whether it has an acoustic guitar or an electric guitar, it kind of falls in the same category. So, I mean, it could. You know, people that love country music could like it, or people that like stuff like, you know, more singer-songwriter, Americana.
Right.
Kind of feel like it's kind of open to...
I was going to say, it's not a problem to have a wide appeal. Yeah, exactly. Lots of people would be into it, yeah.
You know, you were asking me about Glee earlier. And I was, and because we were like, did you ever kind of?
We were curious whether you had gone country at all with Glee, and so then we went back and looked at all
then
your
we
songs
fell into a
and
rabbit
saw
hole
yes,
every song you did. Oh, on
but we saw that you did a Toby Keith song, you did a Kenny Rogers song, so like a little bit, you had like a little taste of it on the show. So maybe fans got a hint there.
Yeah, I really wanted to do more country stuff, just because I mean, I grew up doing impressions of like every country artist, because I do a lot of impressions on the show, and I grew up doing impressions of like every country artist and could sing basically like anybody in country music. And I would beg them. I was like, man, we should do a country song. And then I think the one song we did was like Red Solo Cup, and that was it.
But, you're like, really, guys? That's all?
That's all we get.
It's like, there's so much great country music that we never tapped into, but it was, they had a lot of like really great like pop songs.
I was gonna say, I feel like if it was still on now, they would have gone way more country, because I feel like country is just like becoming more and more mainstream
they did a good mix of it. I just didn't do many of the country stuff.
Right.
I just thought of this. When you were a kid growing up, was it normal for you to like hang out with like big huge country music stars like in Nashville?
I mean, like my dad would have guys come out to our farm and write, and he would kind of, hey, he has a studio out there, and he would have people come out there and write and work, and so you'd see like a lot of really cool like great country artists come out. Or if we, you know, growing up, like he was, you know, he had cuts by, you know, Randy Travis and Alison Krauss and Keith Whitley, Kenny Chesney, and like Blake Shelton, all those guys. So it's kind of, you grew up knowing those people, which is really cool. I think getting to see my dad be successful at writing and playing and just being an artist was really inspirational to me, and it helped me kind of put a reality to, oh, you can do this, like it's achievable. And you know, he was, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you have to go to college, you have to do this. It was kind of like, if you really love music and you want to go after this, like, you know, we support you. And he didn't go to college, and you know, he did okay.
So. He did all right. I'm assuming that because of that wonderful sort of nurturing environment with music, you know, I'm assuming that's how you were able to pick up so many instruments, because I was reading in a press release that you play the mandolin, the guitar, the piano, and drums.
Well, the mandolin was the first instrument I got, and I could play like, you know, like three or four songs.
Well, we have one right here.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
surprise!
Surprise!
No, I could play like three or four songs, and I was like, all right, you know what, I'm moving on to the guitar. And I picked up the guitar, and my mom, we lived out in like the country, so for a while my mom hauled me back and forth to go to guitar lessons once or twice a week. And and then I was, you know, doing drums and stuff from the time I was like 6 years old, because I always loved just banging on different objects around the house. And I realized you couldn't write a song playing the drums. So I started playing guitar, and the piano I kind of just picked up and played by ear. So it's,
wow,
I'm not great at piano. I'm just, I can play well enough to write and perform.
That's still, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just not, I'm not like one of those classical trained pianists that
right.
can just, you know, just.
When did all the dancing stuff come into play? Was that like something that you did just for glee, or like?
Were oh yeah, like, yeah. That was.
I was like, he sings, he dances, he plays a guitar. What can he do? I was like, no. Just did the dancing for glee.
That was one of those things where, the day after I found out, I booked the job. I went into like my first dance rehearsal, and I just like, I'm one of those people that like, I'm athletic when it comes to like sports, I guess, but not like dancing and being aware of your body movement. That's a whole completely different muscle. And it took a while for me to kind of get comfortable and figure it out. But I mean, once you do it, you know, every day for like 5 years, you can do it well enough to pass, or fake it enough to where they can edit around your clumsy dance moves.
Put me in the back.
Right. I was like, oh yeah, no. I don't need to be in the front on this one. You got so many talented, amazing dancers. Just let me just like sit in the back and watch.
Put Heather up front.
Yeah, put those guys. They know what they're doing.
Speaking of performing, since you brought that up, you've gotten to play some of this new music.
Mm-hmm.
You went into our New York office actually and played some music for our coworkers, and you have a bunch of shows coming up. What's it like performing this new music?
It's really exciting because I haven't been at a place where it's been ready and I've had the right stuff to play live. So I've kind of just been, you know, holed up in a studio for like the last 2 years writing until I feel like it's there. And so now that I'm able to kind of play it live and kind of get the reactions and just kind of see the response, it's really cool. And it's really amazing to be able to play anything that you've written personally for people, and they respond positively to it. So I haven't got any big like this sucks yet, so
that's good.
That's good.
How did you get involved with Safe House Records? It's the label that Phil McIntyre, Nick Jonas, and mm-hmm. Demi Lovato launched last year. I'm assuming, I mean, you work with Phil.
Yeah.
How did you get together with all these folks? Was this something like years in the making, or?
So I'd been friends with, I've known Nick since he was like probably like 17 or maybe, yeah. Like probably.
I just can't believe how young he still is. Actually. Right. Yeah. He's been around forever.
Weren't you at a baseball game with him recently?
We went to a Dodgers game.
I was going to say, there was like an Instagram photo, I think. I was like, wait a second, you were at a baseball game.
Yeah, we went with a bunch of buddies. And
you're like,
fun.
Wait, how do you know that? I'm like, yeah. There's a photo. It's public.
Oh, you were that guy with the hood on.
Right.
Like 10
right.
feet behind
that
us
was
the whole
me.
Time. Okay.
Yeah, I was at the sport ball game.
Sport ball.
Sport ball.
So how that whole, I've known Nick and I've known Demi for forever. And I was like friends with Joe, and it was like, I think the last year I was on the show, and he introduced me to his manager and started working together. And,
Phil.
Yeah. And Phil's really helped and been really instrumental in me making sure it's right and being patient, not being hasty and putting the first thing, you know.
Right. Like, we got to strike right after Glee. Right. Got to
yeah,
do this.
It's if the music's not there and it's not right and it's not the statement you want to make, you know, he's been really supportive on being patient, which is great. And it just so happened that kind of we had like the perfect storm of Island. They work really well with the team at Island, and so they started the Safe House Island Records. And he's like, I think we have a really cool opportunity to where we can, you know, get everybody on board and be really supportive and people that really love music. And so started getting everything kind of in the works, and then it's kind of started happening, and everybody seems to be really supportive and on board, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, anything that we can tout coming up for you?
Yeah, like, you know, are you in the studio thinking about an album? What's the next thing?
So I probably have enough songs out of the last, like, few years of just writing and recording for a record.
Like, for a box set.
Yeah, for like, a 20-track song set. But I think we're going to kind of finely tune the EP, get it mm-hmm. out there, and then, you know, kind of slowly introduce who I am as an artist and then put the record out after that. But I think next we have like upcoming shows. I have a residency at Hotel Cafe
yeah.
in the next month, and I'm doing like 4 shows there, and then a couple little one-offs here and there, and gonna start trying to play live as much as possible. And I got to play Margaritaville with Jimmy Buffett Friday, which was
nuts,
which was amazing. And he's just like the coolest guy, and a really awesome mentor, and like kind of showing me the ropes and kind of giving me great words of wisdom. So I had a really fun weekend. Went from there Friday and then got to play the Forum with Nick and Demi, and just really fortunate to get in front of those audiences.
That's wow. awesome.
Wow. Well,
I'd say off to a good start.
Yeah, I think,
yeah, you know what? Playing with Jimmy Buffett's well. Not too shabby.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't have been cooler. It was, you know, he just plays like his whole set list and board shorts, no shoes,
uh-huh.
and like it's really cool because he's an artist who's been doing it for so long, and his fan base is so awesome and loyal, and they know every word to every song he sings.
Yeah, speaking of people who defy genre too, by the way, he's got the country crowd, the rock crowd, the every
pop
crowd,
pop,
yeah.
The guy has so much fun playing. Like, I've never seen like anybody just enjoy what they do so much, and like gets down the stage and he's just like the happiest, like nicest guy. And like, I was like, that is the kind of the where I would like love to be, like,
totally
in my career eventually, like, because that's like, that's just the coolest thing, like getting up there with no shoes on, playing a show and just having the best time, and then like loving what you do, you know, that far into your career is pretty awesome.
Try that at your next show. Go shoeless.
Yeah.
Shoeless.
That's the answer.
I'm going to go shoeless, no pants, and just like a super long tee.
There you go.
That might get the wrong kind of attention. No pants and shoeless.
Or the right kind of attention.
Just a t-shirt and a belt. That's just.
I decided not to wear pants because I heard that, you know, you're supposed to picture yourself naked when you're performing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, or maybe it's the audience
way.
Naked.
Right.
I don't
the
know.
Way around. You know, Jimmy Buffett once worked for Billboard.
Yeah, he was telling me that.
He was?
He was a writer for Billboard before he started in music.
Back in the 70s, like way, a zillion years ago.
So our live career is still ahead of us then.
Yes.
You guys should start. You guys should start, you know.
We could become a duo. Katie.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, anyway.
That'd be pretty cool. No, but I thought that was really interesting. He said when he first moved into town, he started writing for Billboard, and I was like, what a like a cool story to starting out like writing for.
He probably knew the business pretty well.
Knew the business,
yeah.
And he was based in Nashville. He was writing, you know, he was one of our Nashville
Look
sort of
that.
Stringer writer freelancer dudes.
We could have been coworkers.
We could 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, this has been lovely. Thank you so much, Cord,
Thank
for coming
you guys.
In.
Thank you.
And good luck in the future, and we look forward to hearing more music from
Thank you.
You
very much.
Yay. Thank you so much, Cord, for swinging by the office to talk about your new single, and we look forward to your future EP, whenever that may come out, and come back anytime.
And next up, we have an interview with Cord's boss, Demi Lovato. And also DNCE and Joe Jonas. We actually caught up with the band and Demi in downtown Los Angeles a little more than a week ago. They did a outdoor concert that they billed a block party for Marriott Rewards members right in LA Live. And we caught up with them before they performed. Talked about Demi maybe thinking about her next album since it's been since October that we got Confident. And, you know, we do have Body Say, which, you know, might signal a new album. And then for DNCE, we talked about their debut full-length album, which is due in November. I actually spoke with them a couple of days before their first single from that album, Body Moves, came out.
Body Say, Body Moves.
Body Say and Body Moves.
So many bodies.
And we also just talked about, you know, what it was like for Joe and Demi to reunite. They've been working together for a decade, starting with Camp Rock on the Disney Channel. So right. They basically said it was a year of reunions. Huh. So just a super fun interview with these six wonderful, oh my God, six people, five people.
Five
people. And here's our interview with Demi and DNCE.
To the Billboard Pop Shop podcast.
Thank
you. How
are you
guys doing?
Great. How are you?
So good.
Good. And we're at a very special event today for Marriott Rewards. Can you kind of give me a rundown of what we're doing today?
Yeah. So Marriott Reward users and winners, they're able to see us live here in this amazing outdoor stage that they set up. We obviously have iconic venues like the Staples Center behind us, but we get to play outside downtown LA. And play kind of our own block party. And what better way to do it with friends? So we're going to make sure that this is a lot of fun.
Very cool. And yeah, you guys have known each other for a while. So what is it like getting back together, getting the group back together, basically? You've been on tour with Nick for the last few months, and now you're reunited with Joe. Like, what is that like, Demi?
This year is all about a big reunion.
Yeah,
I said seriously.
Getting back together and getting to perform with Joe is awesome. He actually came out on a few of the shows this last summer on the tour that I did with Nick, and that was fun. We got to sing together, and DNC came out as well and sang Cake by the Ocean, which I love that song.
Everybody loves that song. It's great.
Yeah.
And you have a full album coming out, finally. We had the EP Sway before, and now we have the self-titled debut album, November 18. What can you tell us about it that we might not know yet?
Well, what you don't know is we worked very hard on it, and I don't know. I like to talk about it as like kind of a house party, the album. So every song is like a different room in the house, you know? So like there's one room that's like kind of sexy, there's another room that's crazy party, and then there's like a couple rooms just filled with cake or toothbrushes.
Perfect. And you guys did some writing on the album?
Yeah. We wrote on the full album, and every song co-written, and it's nice to have like a year to create something. Usually you only have a few months or a few weeks to bang out an album. We had a full year to kind of evolve as a band and figure out what direction we wanted to go to.
And towards. When you're on tour, you're able to sing your new song, Body Say. Your album, Confident, obviously came out last October, but is Body Say maybe a sign of another album coming our way?
There's definitely going to be another album coming, but I'm taking my time with it, and I'm not rushing anything. Like you said, you normally get a couple months or weeks to make an album, and this time I'm really going to take my time to figure out my sound and hopefully take it to a level that I've never been before.
And are you always making music, though? Like, when you're out on the road, are you thinking about it, writing?
I'm always making music, whether it's on my phone and voice notes, or whether it's on a barf bag on an airplane. I'm always writing, and so on the road, we actually had a studio tour bus, and so or a studio bus on tour, and we got to make new music, which was cool. But yeah, constantly writing.
And is that kind of what you guys have been up to as well? I mean, you guys have been all over the world already, even before this album comes out. Ginger, maybe you could talk about, have you been on the bus recording?
Yeah, we'd be just like, if someone humming and if someone like hears something cool and just I start beatboxing and they just start put the lyrics together and yeah, so it can be naturally happen in the elevator, it can be in the tour bus, it can be in the swimming pool, wherever that is. We just, have fun with it.
It can be in the Marriott hotel room.
Exactly.
And Jack, congratulations to all of you guys on the best new artist at the VMAs.
Thank you.
I think all of you have been working in various ways in the entertainment industry, so what's it feel like to win like best new artist? Do you feel like new artists?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, we've been around for a year now, so I guess it's still new. But yeah, we've all I go way back with Joe and even Demi, and we've all been touring in different capacities for many years, and it's kind of nice that we can still do something new and be a new best new artist.
Absolutely. And and Demi, you were kind of fighting for them on Twitter to get that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very cool. And you also have a relationship with Nick with your Safe House Records, and I saw that you all were tweeting about Court Overstreet's new song, Homeland. Mm-hmm. You know, what's it like to have this like family label and kind of everyone supporting each other like that?
It's an amazing feeling because we're in an industry where everything's so competitive, and when you're able to be around people that are so supportive, it just makes the journey that much more fun.
Absolutely. And what can the fans expect from this block party outside that we're going to see today?
It's going to be a party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Maybe a surprise.
Yeah, we got a surprise or two lined up.
Interesting.
I think it's just already so unique and special to do something outside. You know, like I said earlier, we have iconic venues around us, and we get to play a huge show outside. So you can probably watch from even just finding a building rooftop if you can.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Got all
night. A little more. Thank you so much to Demi Lovato and DNCE for sitting down with us before your concert. We're looking forward to all the new music that these five people have to come.
Five people. Well, there you go. So I believe that's it.
I think it is.
What song should we go out on this week?
What song should we go out on? Can we go out on a Camp Rock song?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've stumped me because I never...
This is a terrible idea.
No, we're going to move on.
Forcing us to edit this out. No, what should we go out on for real, though?
Well, we'll leave all that in because that's funny. what would you like to go out on? Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, little Stevie Wonder.
We can go out on Fingertips, yes. The proper way that it should be sung, not the terrible way that I didn't do it at all.
Love it.
So see you guys next week.
Bye.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.